Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. It is handsome. From our live studio audience. We're from Burbank, California. We're all smiles on the Handsome Hour this week. After Daryl, the resurgence. Commodore Hazel has righted the ship. I think we can safely say.
Oh, yeah.
The ship has been righted.
Extension, right?
Yeah. Absolutely an extension. My favorite part of the weekend, it's a small thing, but it was seeing Hammer and Rail's Twitter account say, well, if they beat Iowa, I could be convinced. That I was like, yes, he's back.
It's amazing. It didn't take anything.
It's all it took.
Beat Illinois, a bad Illinois, in overtime.
You just, like you with a wine cooler, no resistance at all. You just give it right back. Jay here with Boiler Dowd and Anish the Swami talking about... Hi.
Hi. Hello. Hi. I'm here too.
Hi.
So it's a lot more fun to talk about this. I think it's... You know, like when someone famous dies and immediately there are bios...
Why do our analogies always include death? Sorry, continue.
And you ever notice how, like, I don't know, we all think about stuff, right? So you see, like, the retrospectives are already running, like, an hour after someone dies. Mm-hmm. And, like, the long-form thing about Arnold Palmer's life is up.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they write all that in advance. It's right. A morbid thought to have, but people are going to die, so they prepare that kind of thing. And we did the same thing.
Have you guys written a eulogy for me yet?
We were prepared. Yes. It's all about some sort of a unicycling catastrophe. We figured that was the most likely way that you're going to go. But no, my analogy is that we were doing that for Daryl Hazer's Purdue career. We had a lot of stuff. We have a lot
still
of stuff chambered.
Still got it.
And we've
got it ready to go, like out of moment's notice.
Oh, it's like in the catapult, ready for it. Just line and off it goes. But he earned a stay. But really, what did he earn, right? I mean,
nothing. He didn't earn anything yet.
Nothing's changed, right?
No.
That was just a lot more fun, right? That was just a hell of a lot more fun to actually see that.
Yeah.
And I find myself, I think I said this to you offline, I find myself happy for him and if happy for those players because they are working hard. Players are working hard. I think the coaches are trying. I just think they're not that good at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed this. They were pretty despondent last week. They really, really needed that.
I mean, it does show something, though, that it to me kind of shows that he hasn't lost the locker room.
Yep.
Like, because there's no way that after last week they come out and, like, if Hazel really lost the locker room, he's lost us fans. Like, he's lost all of us fans.
Sure.
But if he really lost the locker room, they wouldn't have come out and played like that. Like, it was you know, an ugly, gritty win. Like, any normal team would call that an ugly, gritty win. Mm-hmm. For us, that's the high point of the season.
It's beautiful.
But it shows that that group of players can win games, albeit against an awful Illinois team, and those players still want to,
but they like
Hazel.
Did you hear that story that Hazel told after the Maryland game of the players on Sunday, pulling him aside and said, "We got you, coach. We understand. We're hearing it, too." Ignore all that out there, you know, we're just going to let's do our thing. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's good for them. And that's why that was part of the reason I wrote what I wrote, because it feels like really nobody has confidence in them. The players, Travis has confidence in them. But,
I think the players do. I do too.
Brendan Murphy has confidence too. He wants everybody to just be nice. I don't know if you've seen that on Twitter.
What is he? Is he on Quaaludes? He is a completely different guy than he used to be, huh?
He said he last week he was saying it's not fair to want to fire Hazel. No joke, he wrote after four games. I said it's not four games. It's 40 games.
Yes.
Like, that logic makes no... I don't get
it. He really said that?
Yes. I responded to it. I said it's not four games, brother. It's 40 games.
That's weird. He was a pretty harsh critic of Hope.
Yeah. I understand not liking Hope because he embarrasses you. We've had that conversation.
Right.
I get that, jumping on that train. But and I think there's probably a contingent of people who look at this like, you know what, they did spend this time, and you have to hope this gets better, because I think there's people who kind of believe they're not going to do this again, just because they've seen Purdue for enough years.
Right.
You could see Morgan Burke thinking that way. All right, guys, I gave it a try your way. Now we're going to go back to bargains.
Right? I mean, what? Who are the bargains, though? Have you seen Brock Spak's year? Like, Spak's year this year at Illinois State has almost disqualified him from even the, like, we're going to write something about Spak, and
sure.
There are going to be a lot of people clamoring, but, like, that dude hasn't won for, like, a year and a half. Or like a season and a half, I guess, or this season and whatever.
Do they have three or four losses already? Is that right?
They've got like four losses. Yeah.
Man.
And they're all like pretty bad. And so, I don't even know what the cheap option would be, at this point, but we can go into that, you know, whenever. It was just fun. Like it was an, like if they lost,
Schiano's probably the cheap option, honestly, because there's no buyout, right?
Like Pelini. Pelini, you'd have to pay him.
The base, you'd have to pay him. Your cheap option is a guy like Kendall. Is a young guy who's not proven yet at like Toledo, right? Probably no buyout to speak of, and you wouldn't have to pay him more than like.
Or the North Dakota State guy, Kleeman.
Except that I feel like he's going to have better options. Here we go. Right into our coaching.
Yeah, let's not. I mean, yeah.
Come on,
see,
guys.
That's the, we're going to.
You know, you guys keep talking about, okay, they got to win. But it was against a terrible Illinois team. And then, Ryan, I think you said they got to win, but it was a terrible Nevada team. Okay, but we talked going into the season. How many times did I say this schedule is full of terrible games, full of terrible teams?
Yeah,
and
but
you
those
gotta win some of them. They're over 500 in mid-October.
Right.
But those games were wins against, like, really bad D1 teams by a field goal, essentially. Like, the Nevada game.
Nah, he won by double digits against Nevada. They were.
It was a missed field goal.
That's not really fair. That score isn't really indicative of what the game was, though. I mean, if Nevada misses, it makes the field goal, then Purdue, the pressure is on Purdue to go down and try to win in regulation. I don't know if they do it, so. That score is not fair. It really isn't. I mean,
that was a one possession game.
It was a one possession game.
They would have absolutely lost those two games in any of the last 3 years, I think. What do you think? Maybe not 2 years ago. Maybe not Appleby's year when he took over in 14. Because, by the way, on that subject, I was interacting with someone on Twitter, and you know, we've talked many times over the years about the fumble, the Orton fumble, and how you can pinpoint that as the.
Yeah, that was just funny. I saw this.
Well, I said you can pinpoint Hazel's turning point in a way, because to me it was that he gives Appleby the job in 14. And Appleby goes out and wins at Illinois, right? So now, if you look back at that, they were halfway through the 14 season. They were six games in. They were 3-3.
Yeah.
And they had just won a Big Ten game on the road. And they just put a new quarterback in who everyone was excited about. That was it. They lost the following, I forget to who, but someone they shouldn't have, like Penn State or somebody who was better than them.
Yeah.
And then the following week was that game against Minnesota, where they go to Minnesota, and they're out 31-20 at halftime. They're up. And we're all like, holy crap, Appleby is for real. They're going to be 4-4 in a second, right? And now you're like two wins away, right? That and then they blew that game, and it's never been right.
So that Minnesota game was rough.
But isn't that the last time where under Hazel you thought they might have been going in the right direction?
I think that was the Cincinnati game of his first year.
That's not fair. We knew the first year was going to be bad. And after you...
We really didn't. I can tell you, you and I did not.
No. We didn't think it was going to be that bad.
No, we didn't think it was going to be bad. I think we both had them like six wins or more.
Who remembers that sort of thing?
I think I may have had them at 7 or 8.
I remember your brother, the eternal pessimist, had them at like 8 wins.
Yeah.
Man, so, he showed us.
That's right. So he's learned real good. Don't be optimistic.
No, but
we learned you right, boy.
They're 3-2. They're going to be 3-3 most likely again. Because they're well. Let's talk about this Saturday. Let's talk in the present tense. They're not going to beat Iowa, right?
No.
Now, nobody picked them in our group to beat Illinois either. But I think that was more the product of the previous week.
Matchup predictor on ESPN says 81.2%. Chance for Iowa to win.
The Maryland game was just so demoralizing. Yeah. That's why. Just that loss was as bad a loss as I have seen Purdue football have in the last. I've been watching Purdue since 1998. Mm-hmm. So since then, I honestly can't. like decisive, devastating, awful, everything.
Well, I think the reason it was more devastating is because it was only Maryland.
That's right. I think that's the key.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State and Wisconsin before, but
sure. Yeah, but that's Ohio State and Wisconsin, and we're Purdue and whatever. Like that Maryland, I think, like that the 4-1 or 5-1 or whatever record they have, it's cute. But they're a bad team. They're bad. They're really bad. I like Penn State, not a great team. I think they're going to wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
And because Maryland is a bad team, or no, they did wipe the floor.
They did beat
them. Right?
They beat them up.
So like they're a bad team. Yeah.
Of course he cleaned up, man. That dude is
a genius. He's one of the best. He's one of the best coaches in the game.
He's the best sub 500 coach I've ever seen.
I think he's a top three coach. Yes.
Top three coach in Pennsylvania?
Exactly. He's right there.
I don't know. Matt Rule is – where's Temple? Temple's in Philadelphia, right?
I would argue you have two quarterbacks or two coaches better than him right now in Pennsylvania.
He is third. He's definitely third, actually.
So you go from he's like a top 10 to 15 coach in the nation.
I didn't ever say that he was top 10 to 15 coach in the nation. I was around 20-25, which is just about where the Penn State job should
As you were doing it, you were licking an envelope that you just sprayed with perfume to send off to him. You were wearing his button-down shirt.
I think Pat Narduzzi is the best coach in Pennsylvania. I think it's not close. Pat Narduzzi is amazing, and we were all in love with him when he was at Michigan State.
Sure.
I think any of us would kill for Matt Rule.
Narduzzi was a big part of the Michigan State success. How about that?
That's the other. Like, are we done talking about Purdue? Because I'm ready to talk about like good football teams.
I think we've covered all we need to.
We move on quickly.
I don't think if you look at our schedule, Iowa is in that like middle tier where like Iowa, Penn State, you're not really.
But they're not good. Yeah, I guess you're right. They're in that middle tier, but Purdue's nowhere near the middle tier.
It's that Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota tier where like you're not really sure if any of these teams are good at all.
I think the Every Day Should Be Saturday guys called it the morass. You might be able to steal one out of that morass. The grab bag, I think they called it.
Yeah, it's you just and you know what the sad thing is that IU is clearly better than all of those teams.
Oh yeah, that's what I was watching Big Ten Network and they're like, who's the best team after after Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan? Who's best after that? And like all three guys are like, yeah, I think it's IU. And I'm like, what?
I know. So that I mean, they're gonna drop so many points.
Yeah. They got good defense, though. They always drop points, but, man, they can stop teams.
I've been trying to tell you, I like – or maybe it's not you. Maybe it's IU fans that I tell this to. I like Kevin Wilson.
I do, too.
Like,
we're on the same page on that.
I think hiring a coordinator like that who's creative, who's – like,
too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You sucked me back into the Purdue thing. Seeing – I will have to admit that part of me was kind of hoping for the whole Hazel experiment to be over. And then I saw him like click his heels like he was in The Wizard of Oz after the missed field goal. I was like, that's my guy. I told you.
I love him. I love him again.
He's going to do it. He's going to be the guy.
That was an amazing release.
Wasn't
he hugging one of the state troopers?
Yeah. So
an Illinois state trooper.
Right after the
game. Wasn't even his guy, I don't think. That's the thing. That's the thing. They didn't travel at Purdue.
He was just nearby. That's why he hugged him.
Yeah.
Who's around? Who can I hug?
It's awesome. That picture that I put on the post, though, it is so good. Because you look, there's a girl. She's like a trainer, and she's just happy for Hazel, you can tell, right? She's looking down at him. And then there's players. They are jubilant. And Hazel's like, oh, my gosh, we're actually going to win. I can't believe it.
I don't know what to do.
What happens now?
How amazing is it that they've won two road games in his entire tenure, and it's been both
Illinois.
It's incredible.
Okay, who turns down – Simmons does this thing, right? Who says no? Who turns down a deal of, like, Purdue and Illinois making their schedules just like each other for the entire Big Ten, like nine games of the Big Ten schedule?
Keep
playing each other, home and away. Like, you guys take – and you'll split, and you'll win games.
You'll –
And you win games, and if both teams go to a bowl game, they both get six games because they'll just beat each other.
at each other's house the whole time. That'd be the worst part. Yeah. Nobody would win a home game. If Purdue can't win two in a row, we know that.
That's right.
That's the thing. Daryl Hazel, the loss, not even the, because we don't have any victories after victories. The losses after these victories are by a margin, I think now, of 31 points.
Oh, yeah. That could happen this weekend. They could lose 41-10.
Oh, it could definitely happen this weekend. Because Iowa could just run the ball down their throats, and Purdue front can't stop anybody, you know? And I hope they're listening and they're pissed. And then they go and they're like, oh, we can't stop anybody, can we? No, you cannot stop anybody. You guys suck. And I'm sorry. You know, they seem like great gentlemen, nice kids, you know. Look at all the tackles are coming from safeties and corners. All of them.
It's never good when your safeties lead the team in tackles.
Yeah.
Not a good sign.
No. And the funny thing is he missed like four tackles himself too. So if he would have made those tackles, he would have had like 16, 17 tackles.
What? So I Maryland. Okay, so Maryland on Purdue rushed 400 yards.
Guy had seven rushes for 200.
Yeah. And Purdue's rushing attack against Maryland, and a below average team, was what, 10 yards, I think. And Penn State. Now,
did they get double digits? I don't think they did.
Penn State.
No,
oh, Purdue. You mean Purdue?
I think Purdue was at 9 or something.
I think they rounded up. I think they felt bad and they were just like, 10. There you go.
Give it to them. Plucky upstart Boilers, give it to them.
Penn State, the week after, and to be fair, like I think Saquon Barkley is like one of the better NFL prospects, who's Penn State's running back. He's really good. He rushed for 202 yards on Maryland. I think Penn State put together, what is it here, 372 yards. We rushed 10.
Yeah.
9.5 according to Dowd. Like 9.4 according to Dowd, that they just rounded up.
But they look better, but they rushed a lot better against Illinois. I mean, that was a committee attack, too. I mean, without Markell Jones, there's talent. I'm sorry, there's talent.
Langford Johnson.
Ryan's favorite, Richie Worship.
Exactly.
Richie Worship
every day.
He's like
sometimes my own, sometimes somebody else's.
What's that? The Carolina Panthers fullback. Mike Tolbert, big fat Mike Tolbert.
He looks like a young version. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, because he's wider than he is tall. It's incredible. Yeah. He's a rhombus. He's a rhombus with legs.
He's a rhombus.
It's incredible. I love him.
Let me ask you guys a question, okay?
Yeah.
In the next four games, okay, I'm looking at the schedule. I think this is really interesting. Are the odds better of Purdue winning one game or losing all four?
Losing all four.
Yeah. We haven't made up any ground. But look, you got Minnesota and Iowa in there.
You do have, yeah, but Luke,
plus you got last year.
Well, very winnable. I'm selling it now to you.
You got the one Big Ten win from last year is in there too.
And Penn State, I mean, like,
that's a bad game for Purdue.
That is a bad game. Next weekend. So by the way, next weekend, Saturday, I will be in Las Vegas. So 3:30 Eastern at Nebraska on ABC. Nebraska's 10th in the nation. That sounds like a perfect. I will be ready to bet.
I will probably be driving back from hopefully that's Destin, right, Florida. We don't know where we're going yet. So
aren't you leaving Saturday?
Yeah, we really don't have a place.
We're just going to drive south. That's
it. Well, we're waiting for the property in Hilton Head to give us our insurance assurance that we'll get our money back. Yeah, that we'll get our money back. But Hilton Head's a mess right now, so we're going to either go to Destin or Gulf Shore, someplace 12 hours or less, and our whole family, everybody's going. So
that'll be a nice thing to listen to in the car on the way back.
That'll be great.
At Nebraska, that's going to be horrible. So to your question, no, I think I'll go as far as saying there's an even – I'll put the odds at even that they could win one or lose all four. I mean, I feel like – you don't. Well, actually, the more I look at this, the Minnesota one's on the road. Man, I don't know.
And
I thought you were going the other way. That was awesome. I
know. I thought you were going to be like, oh, Penn State, not that good. It's at home. Like, we could win all four.
They're not that good. No, they can win all four. Game, here we come. This is a 7-3 team at that point. 3-7-2, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, if... Okay.
If so, Brew is 7-2 in a month from now, Anish does the podcast with no clothes on.
Absolutely, ooh, yes,
too.
I will.
Me too. I'll do them, with, I'll do them in the same room as you guys with no clothes on. How about that? Just a sock. I can what? Decide where it is.
What, in case your hands are cold?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be November, so...
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a commitment right there. At I'm least in. A shirtless podcast. And we'll do it live. Yeah. We'll do it live streaming so that we
can... We'll stream it. We'll stream my nipples live.
That, would you go as far as committing to that if they win 3 of 4?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, you're confident.
Yeah.
Or, so if he wins 3 of the next 4 games.
Yes, absolutely.
You'll be so excited. You'll want to do something with your
car. I might drive to the Minnesota game. Like, if we've clinched it, like, let's say we win the next three. I'll just drive to the Minnesota game naked. I'll paint my chest. It'll be everything. I'll do
and
it.
And people, no, you'll paint the whole thing, and people will be like, is that a guy or a girl that painted... Tall, everything. Thin. Is that an alien? So thin and
I've
tall.
Never seen a figure.
I can't understand the dimensions. I don't know what's happening. Oh, man.
All right. So
imagine this, Jake. Can I paint a picture of you? Anish please. And I walking what side by one? Side naked and oh. fully painted.
Well, you he think thinks about
you,
that.
I was going to say, you haven't, I don't think I have it. Damn it, you beat me to it. Don't step on my jokes.
Oh, that's good.
I think I haven't had that vision, please.
Man, this is the best podcast we've ever done.
I know, right?
In a great place. We've gone down a happy, sunshiny road.
Do you think that if Purdue won 3 of the next 4, Daryl Hazel will coach the Northwestern game without a shirt on?
No, if here's what he could go pantless, but he'd still have that white windbreaker on.
The windbreaker. It's and a, the hat. It's the,
where's that windbreaker when it's 95 degrees and he's clearly uncomfortable? And wears it when it's, you know, 12 degrees.
I respect it. I respect the hell that man out of is that man kind of
it's his uniform. It's his uniform. I
mean, he is dedicated to that windbreaker almost as much as he was dedicated to John Shoup for 3 years.
Remember the first when they rolled out the black helmets and they wore all black? Remember he wore all black? He wore a black windbreaker that game?
Yeah. I don't think he's done it since, has he?
No, it's the only deviation. Even the other blackout games, he hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's weird. He's a man. But what that says, though, is he's not real. He's kind of rigid.
Kinda. Kinda.
He doesn't change his approach too much. So,
kinda.
But I do think he deserves some credit. It's just too late, right? You guys have made this point already. If he'd gone to Malone or someone like Terry Malone last year,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that saves his job at least for this year.
Yeah,
right.
I think he's Purdue's coach in 2017 if John Shoup wasn't the offense. Because I mean, if you look at this, like last, I think that was the big change last week was that the offense was creative. They were just like, let's screw it, like let's just throw the kitchen sink and see what happens, see what sticks. But it was simple. It wasn't like John Shoup often tried to make things more complicated than necessary. Yeah, and not even adding like complex like jet sweeps,
like big payoff, right?
Yeah,
right.
But not even like the jet like jet sweeps are actually pretty simple, right? You make one read, and if you don't if you don't see it, you're going this way, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But John Shoup tried to add all these extra, like he wasn't really good at teaching those type of concepts. No. Terry Malone was just like, let's try everything. Let's try a bit of everything and see what sticks. And it worked last week.
And of course, Purdue now, because they're Purdue and they're you know, thin as far as talent goes, now Domo Young is done.
Oh, that was awful.
Has there been a report by that? I did anybody get any more
information? I didn't see
any
official. I don't see how. The last thing I read was that Hazel was waiting to hear confirmation after an MRI, but he had kind of a gruesome. There's no reason.
It was horrible looking.
I think at best it was like a dislocation, right? And that's pretty much you're done for the year, right?
You know,
so you're waiting on your patellar, like whatever tendons to
shrink
to
back,
heal.
Right?
Yeah, and Domo Young is the kind of like undrafted free agent that makes a NFL, you know what I mean? That just makes a practice squad.
Not now,
and if he's in the right place at the right time, whatever. Yep. Now that kind of, I mean, like, I don't know. Now it's just another thing to overcome, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sucks. And like his story really was kind of cool and everything. Yeah, it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just it's a big loss too from a target for Blau perspective. I think. I mean,
I don't. He was the only. He's been Purdue's only good wide receiver, right?
Yeah, where the hell has he been? He hadn't done anything.
Yancey hasn't produced for how many years?
It's like Boston Sports Radio. He sucks.
Yeah, he's awful. He's awful.
What's the thing about Yancey though? He's the only guy that I am really openly negative about on the team, just because I'm like, the guy has so much talent, but he has done nothing with it.
I mean, like, so here's the thing: you're, let's say you're on the 20-yard line, you're throwing a corner fade, you know, to the end, like in the corner, back corner of the end zone. Who are you trusting, D'Angelo Yancey or Bilal Marshall?
I'd say Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall's got decent hands.
Marshall's coming on. That's the thing I like about Marshall. I think I would too. He's getting better. He's running clean routes. He's trying every down. Yancey, it just disappears for a quarter at a time, and you're like, did he leave the stadium?
Yeah, and so at this point, I would think that Posey becomes Purdue's number one target, right? I mean, like passing target at least.
That's tough.
But then, you know, my thing is, you can get so creative with all of the running backs that are on Purdue's roster. Like, Purdue has four really good running backs. Like, four running backs that could start.
Fuller's good. That's the thing. It's interesting. Fuller's really good. I said that in spring a couple of years ago, how much I enjoyed watching him run. And he didn't even really do anything. But when he's come in and he's played, he's good, you know? So yeah, what an amazing. I don't know how that happens. I really don't.
That's the thing. Next year, Purdue is going to have, so when Knox comes back, Purdue is going to have a whole host of running backs that are really good. They're going to have a quarterback that's very fine, right? Like, he's a very passable quarterback. And they're going to have no offensive line. Like, nobody is going to be able to play offensive linemen at Purdue next year.
You don't think King and, I like King and, yeah, well, King.
Bruce is gone.
Ruse is gone. Okay.
Ruse is gone.
But McCann's back. And 53. Come on, the center. He's back. He's a sophomore.
Is he?
Next year. Yeah. No. He's long gone. Dag nabbit. I follow him on Instagram. He's a funny guy.
Barron?
Yeah, Barron.
Barron's he'll be a senior
sophomore?
Next year,
no,
won't he?
No, he's a sophomore, junior next year.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's
okay. So I guess like with Barron and I guess you got three players on there.
Barron is a sophomore. He'll be a junior.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Okay. Yeah. So there at least Kirk Barron on the
He's built
line.
A lot like me.
6'2", 300. My goodness. Oh, Replogle is
he's like a bigger version of me.
Replogle's long gone, but anyway,
no,
like
saying,
it's
yeah. When you said 53, I was thinking that he's 54.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There is running back talent, but there is no wide receiver talent at all. Like wide receiver is pretty dire next year.
Scrolling through with wide receivers, there's not even your question about who do you throw something up to. Like they don't even have anyone big to throw it to that I can find on here. Like
no. I can hear you clicking, by the
way.
Oh, okay.
That's me. Sorry about that.
No, I don't care. Okay. It's the ticking sound of inevitability. It's all of us are
by
soon
the way,
to
what
die.
What was your, Anish, what was your line about J.D. Dellinger?
I always confuse him with...
with a guy in a fedora and like a pinstripe suit.
What's
and
the... What's the name of the guy?
The guy from Indiana.
The Indiana bank robber.
Yeah,
Who like Johnny Depp played in a movie, didn't he?
Was it James Depp? No, it was...
It was like Dellinger or something like that, right?
Yeah, it is. And I should know that. Like I'm like from here.
Dellinger.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's... why can't I...
My grandmother used to serve him coffee, was the story she used to tell.
Have you ever noticed how many stories... his family has, Anish. There's
yes,
so many,
it's incredible.
They're like a museum. Like
it's pretty cool. And most of them are true.
John Dillinger.
There you go.
John Dillinger. Yeah.
There you
Probably
go. It came to me. I'm pretty sure it is his name because he is that guy because he's just taking a break from robbing banks.
That was what you said on Twitter. He took a break from being a 20s gangster or something ridiculous like that.
That's great.
I need to put if he hits another game winner, I'll just post him in a Tommy gun. Like,
Did you hear him talk after the game? It was awesome because he's like, he's just a kid. Like,
he's a freshman.
I know. Like, you're just like, wow. It's like, I mean, he said the way he handled his nerves, you know, about last week, and it was just like, didn't have any athlete speak at all about it. It was really fun.
Yeah, he's so young. He doesn't have any. He doesn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know how we were talking a little bit about the Big Ten a few minutes ago. I just want to just make another observation about another team in the Big Ten. I don't know, guys. I think Rutgers might not be very good.
You know, they have cool uniforms though.
Oh man, one of you was talking about Purdue being at the bottom. Maybe it wasn't one of you guys.
It was me. It was the bottom tier, and so the bottom tier of the Big Ten.
Those three
are four. I think four teams. Four. I think Maryland is the top of that tier.
Nah, they're
ooh,
not that
I
bad.
Wouldn't do that to
they're
them.
No, I think they're awful. No. I think they're horrific.
They're awful last year.
They're gonna have six or seven wins.
Yeah, because DJ Durkin's really good at his job. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's part of the equation, though.
I guess you're right.
Remove that.
It's
like removing Rutgers. Franklin from the Penn State equation. He's amazing. So Penn State's probably going to somehow find a way to the national championship.
Rutgers is so bad.
It's
how?
Terrifying. It's amazing.
How bad are they?
How?
They're awful.
Would they have one first down last week?
I think it was two, actually. But they had negative yardage halfway through the third quarter. They were negative for total yards.
If Purdue plays Rutgers, who
next year?
What's the spread? Like, what's
right
the
now?
Spread if Purdue plays Rutgers next week?
Where?
Halfway in Pittsburgh. Halfway
neutral?
In between. Halfway in between.
In front of 11 fans? In front of a niche because they're in
Pittsburgh? Yes. I'll be there.
Even.
Go team.
No.
I'll probably cheer for Rutgers too because I feel
Purdue
bad.
Would be favored because Rutgers coming off a 71-point loss.
78.
Was it 78?
78-0 following a 58-0. They lost 134-0 in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
That's
demoralizing. And we've been through demoralizing. We're kind of experts at it.
56-0, 58-0.
Rutgers doesn't have any modern success to draw off.
No, that's not
entirely. Shiano and
No, they were good. You know,
the Shiano teams were good.
When Shiano was there, he had.
I loved watching them on Thursday nights. They were always on. You know, I love those games. Those were fun.
They,
yeah,
they played Louisville and they were good. I mean, they had one year where they got to. I think they got.
Didn't they beat West Virginia one year and Louisville? Is that right? Or am I wrong about
they
that?
They got to. Well, it was the year they started like 11-0, and they
was
got
this,
to like
was this
seven.
The Shiano like this?
Yeah.
Under Shiano,
his third year or
something like that. And they got up to like seventh in the country, which is
ridiculous.
Astonishing. It's like thinking about Purdue being in the top 10. It's incredible. But they weren't in the Big Ten, and Shiano had them firing, man. He had them, and they went through a span. It was like a Tiller run. Like they were winning seven, eight games, maybe more, nine games a year, and winning their bowl games. And it just gave everybody a warm, fuzzy feeling at Rutgers. Obviously enough to make them think they could compete in the Big Ten. But they're getting Big Ten money, so much like Purdue and the criticisms of Morgan Burke, you know what? They don't have to win to feel like they've won.
Well, to be fair, I think Ash is really good. Ash was a really good hire.
I think Ash is a good hire. But
Ash was but you can't turn around overnight, you know? Like you're
no,
not.
And
but Justin was in love with Flood, too.
Yeah, you love – yeah.
How about you look at how they're performing this year? Flood was not a bad coach. They were winning games. They went to a bowl game in the Big Ten with Flood.
I think Flood's
just
not
saying
the
there's
bad.
Something with the personnel, right? I mean, something. If you guys say Ash is good, something's got to.
I think Ash is a good coach. I just, you know, when we've started talking and writing up blurbs about coaching hires at Purdue, one of the things I think about when you say, will a guy be successful at a place like Purdue or like Rutgers? If you plop Les Miles in West Lafayette, whether or not you think he's old and over the hill as a coach, which I think is ridiculous, but let's say you believe that, he's still Les Miles. Players would still come to play for him simply based on name recognition alone. Chris Ash is a good coach, but unless you were recruited by Ohio State, you're not going to go there. You're not going to go because of him.
So Kyle Flood's such a good coach; he's not coaching anywhere right now.
No, he's like in a broadcast booth somewhere.
This is funny though. You'll like this. I mean, this is hilarious. The NJ.com. The headline is. Maybe Kyle Flood wasn't so bad at Rutgers after all.
He wasn't.
I know. I don't think he was either. So,
yeah, he went 4-8 last year.
Yeah.
And got fired. Yeah. Well.
All right. So okay, let's do this.
Let's talk about something, guys. This has been really, it's really eating at me. It's really important.
Oh God.
I got to see
I have this dread every time.
No, this is good. Okay. This is really good. I got to see PJ Fleck on ESPN this evening. If it is on, if it is on the internet and you guys can find it, it is amazing. Okay, he says things. I gotta just. And Jean, my wife says, she says, "Would Purdue hire him?" I said, "Oh, I hope so." I said, "He's so crazy and entertaining. I mean, you think not hopeful Danny was funny? Oh my
God! Row the boat, freaking boat!"
So they ask him about rowing the boat, and he says, "There's three parts to rowing the boat." I was like, "There's three parts? Christ. There's three parts? This is awesome. One, the oars. The oars are your motivation, I think. Two, the boat. And the boat, I can't remember. It was so convoluted. And they showed like a coin all the players get that say, row the boat. And they all have oars. And they all, like, every time he does, it's like, row the boat. And he does this thing. He's like, who's getting the game ball today? We're all getting the game ball. It's like Oprah, he throws the ball. And then they said, oh, what was the other thing? He had a couple things that I was just laughing my ass off at. He's crazy. Oh, he said, if you're gonna have turds around you, you're gonna be a turd. But if you're gonna have really great people around you, you're gonna do really great things. We're not even close to done here. 6-0. I don't even know what 6-0 is. I don't care about 6-0. I got bigger goals. Coaching someplace else.
He's an insane person.
He is nuts. He's nuts. He was wearing a royal blue suit with a bright purple tie, bright purple socks. He's a little man, too. He was sitting in a lazy boy. He looked like me in first class. Barely could put his feet on the ground.
Where was this? It was on SportsCenter today?
It was on ESPN this evening.
Okay.
It was awesome.
So
it was
I don't know if you are intentionally trying to get me to fall in love with this man.
You have to fall in love with him.
I can't. I've been trying to talk myself out of him. And the more this happens, like... I need him in my life, I think.
Yes.
I think I need somebody. I need somebody that when Purdue... No, I need somebody that when Purdue inevitably loses and crushes my heart, that I can make fun of and not feel bad that I'm making fun of them. Right? Because Daryl Hazel, I can't make fun of. We can't make fun of him. Right? Because he's just so earnest. He's really trying hard, and there's nothing funny about
the only thing I can tell you, last week he almost lost me. When he was BSing and digging his heels in, I was having a hard time.
Oh yeah,
because he was being a bit of a turd, to quote PJ Fleck. He was just, I was like, what is this guy? This is not the Daryl Hazel that I've fallen in love with.
I know, but I need, if PJ Fleck came and we lost like this, at least we would have a good time.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, it would be so much fun.
We'd have a great time, and that's all I need in my life. I just need some. I need just Ed
entertainment
Orgeron.
Is what you're saying.
I need Ed Orgeron. I need. Yeah, I need PJ Fleck.
Can you guys help me with this? I'm sure you guys can. Is it Benny Hill? Was he the zany comedian in the
70s? Yeah.
Does it Orgeron kind of remind you of Benny Hill at times when he's really exacerbated? Like his hair's a little, and he's a little cross-eyed, and he's...
I enjoy everything about him. Everything. He might not be a good coach. Like, I'm not trying to say.
He's a good coach.
No, he's a good coach.
He is a good coach.
I think he's a good coach.
He just has none of that. He's like, he is worse than Danny Hope on the PR side of the job, I think. Oh, I think that's a problem, right?
I think he's oddly better.
Not an LSU.
I think he's oddly better. Like, he's got more charisma than Danny Hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And he seems to be a better football mind than Danny Hope.
I think he should just market himself. Did I say this to you? He should be like Winston Wolf. He should just be the cleaner. Like, now this is the second time he's been hired to take over a high-profile job. Like, just this is what I do, man. You fire your prominent head coach, and I will clean it up. He went 6-2 at USC after they fired Lane Kiffin.
I mean, he's going to go.
And the players, they said, loved him.
He's going to go something like this year. He's going to win with LSU. Like with an okay LSU team.
Well, they got an extra week of preparation, so to get Danny Etling all dialed in.
I'm very sad that didn't
It's
happen.
not going to happen now. You
I
see that?
know. I
Del
know.
Rio
I
is
think
back
it's
at
Purdue's
starting.
fault. Isn't it Purdue's
It
fault?
seems like it is.
It's our
I
fault,
blame
right?
Morgan Burke, actually.
There's something dumb about that, though. Like, they could have played that. They could have rescheduled it. They could have. There's a lot of things they could
So
have
they
done there.
apparently have cupcake games
Oh,
during
yeah.
the SEC season. I don't know how SEC scheduling works. They're so much better at football than we are.
Yeah,
They do things
every
so
year
much
the
better.
whole SEC seems to have this tacit agreement. You're talking, and now I don't hear you.
No,
It's
but
like
like I don't
week
I
eight, right? They
yeah,
week
I
eight,
don't
they'll
get
play
it.
somebody you've never heard
Everybody
of.
plays a cupcake in that
Yeah.
week, and so there was theories put out there. Yeah, they should just pay off those two schools, give them their payout, and then they should play their game that weekend.
Maybe
But
let those two
they
teams
don't
play
want to
each
give up
other.
that weekend. They don't want to give up an easy weekend.
Right.
Heading, I mean, it's bad. Or they could have just moved it this weekend somewhere neutral, but that's
Yeah.
too hard.
Yep. They're waiting for the conference to step in, they say, and the conference has not done anything about it.
No, because why? Like, why? What are they going
Because,
to do?
well, the thing that I found funny is they're like the radio show I was listening to. They were talking about the implications of big bowls. I'm like, there's no big bowls coming from those two teams. Sorry, you know, you can say
No.
whatever you want. They're not that good. And so SEC probably is like, yeah, it's okay. These two, you know, this tickle fight isn't gonna lead to anything that's, you know, really important. So,
I'm
but
sad that Houston lost.
I am too.
I
I'm
liked
too.
Houston. Like, I wanted them to sneak into
But
the
if
Final
Herman
Four.
loses a couple more, maybe he can
He
come to
could come
West
to
Lafayette.
Purdue. Yeah. He'd
Make
take
that
a
happen. Make that happen.
we'd give him a pay raise, right?
Yeah.
Right? I don't
Yeah.
know.
He's making decent money, though. I think
Who
he's
is
making
Herman?
Herman. They gave him a pretty big raise just to try to hold on to for another season. I'm sure his buyout's big now.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, he's gonna get Texas or USC, right?
Yeah. It's gonna be Texas, I think, right? Where it just makes sense.
I don't know. Are they gonna get rid of Strong? Like, would they get rid of Strong?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of writing on the wall, I think there. So.
Yeah. But anyway, like that. This is all moot because Charlie Strong or Tom Herman are gonna come to West Lafayette and save the
On a
day.
white horse, just
Yes,
with
of
a
course.
banner.
I think we've lost Jay. I think we've lost him. I think he's dead now.
He's gone.
He's
Did he
dead.
have to
He's
check out?
No,
Did he
he just spontaneously combusted. I think
combusted?
he's like
Awesome.
Beetlejuice in reverse. Like you say his name three
Three
times.
times.
And so okay, take a look at the schedule down
Yep.
and tell me what like okay, how many more wins do you see on the schedule? So we got Iowa at home this weekend. We got Nebraska away, Penn
Yep.
State at home, Minnesota away, Northwestern at home, Wisconsin at home, and Indiana away. How many wins?
Zero.
Yeah,
I
man.
don't. I can't adjust it. I can't find another win. I don't mean to be a jerk. You know, the funny thing, we all enjoyed the Illinois game. We all had a great time with that. But really quickly, you move on and you look at Illinois' schedule and you say, they haven't done anything, right? They haven't beaten anybody. Purdue just beat them by the narrowest of margins.
And
Things, you know,
two
and
of
things
Purdue's
had to go Purdue's way there. You know, it was.
two of Purdue's wins are by a field goal, essentially by like 4 points. You
Right,
know what I mean?
right.
No essentially. No
Oh,
essentially.
he's dead now. Oh, he's back from
He's
the dead.
back. Did you say it in your heart?
Catch me up. Catch me up.
No, so if we're
J
looking at
Money, J Money, J Money.
looking at Purdue's schedule, how many wins do you see?
I see a lot because I'm a very optimistic kind of guy.
Oh yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Oh,
So,
you've always struck me as an optimistic
I
kind of
know.
guy.
Just nonstop optimism.
What does that mean?
The funny thing is, Anish, this is not a joke, okay? There was a time, and it wasn't long ago. You probably
Oh.
read the site at this point. You were just a young
A wee
college
lad.
student with a gleam in
Whatever,
your eye,
whatever.
where Jay was just optimistic every year. Like, it's funny. I used to be real optimistic, and then I fell off. But Jay stayed up a little longer. But then he fell off, and we are both super jaded now. I mean, that was the funny thing. And then we used to make fun of Travis. He would come on our podcast, and we'd just rip him apart, which was really. We'd set him up just to hear him say things. It was great. But he's gone with that. He's actually, man,
He's gone way the other direction now.
way the other direction. Like too, you know, too much
Yeah, unsurprisingly.
overcompensation, right?
So
But.
if we win,
bong, bong.
I know, right? If sorry, the bells, no, you're good. If this is already awful, nobody's gonna listen to this anyway. If
this is a good,
this is good. It's good. It's not dark. This is a good. We're so happy today.
We've only talked about death twice.
I know. I know. Right. It's like helium has been let in our room. We're just high, dude.
What were you saying?
You get so let's
no,
say
no, you just die.
If Purdue wins three games.
Three more. They've won three.
Hell no.
Okay, but if.
Hell no.
If they win three more, then what?
Okay, go ahead.
No, you tell me. Then Hazel.
Then what?
Then Hazel, right? Hazel is the guy.
Oh, he's
year.
The guy, definitely.
Oh, no.
If we win two more.
He's back.
So wait, so two more and he's back.
Five wins, I think he's back. That's progress.
It'd be
you
tough
think he has to make a bowl to come back?
It'd be tough for Babinski to fire him with five wins for multiple reasons, right? Because you'd say that's real progress. You've got a lot of guys returning in important positions next year. The schedule's much... Wait a second. See, that's the thing. It'll be exactly like Les Miles, but like the tiny, tiny little baby brother, because he'll be canned next year. But it'll be cheaper. Right?
Yes.
The thing you got to hope for is like they don't sign an extension, but they probably would, wouldn't they?
You have to, right? I mean, like...
What, do you give him a $100,000 extension? You're tied up now, bro. Because nobody's coming after you, Daryl. No one's coming.
But for recruiting, you kind of have to, right?
But what? But Ryan's point is correct. Thing. You don't have to offer him a lot of money.
No, you got to offer like Tree Fitty. Like that's about it.
I will give you a contract, but
what you do is you restructure the contract to include all those years in one lump sum, and it's a $350,000 raise. But it looks like a lot of money because he's still getting $2.1 million for the 2 years before that.
Yeah.
Wait, and then one more win, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. With four wins, he's gone.
You think he's gone with four wins?
Yeah, I'll tell you why four wins would kill you. Because
I've always been afraid of that number. Like, but even in the beginning of the season,
I think
like
we all were a little afraid of that one. I think we all kind of are like, eh, that was the over under. I think we picked right.
Yep.
So. But the reason I think the three wins or four wins now would doom him because they're all up in the front of the schedule, and then you have a lot. You're going to have a drought here. Right?
You have like a 6 weeks of just pain.
And then IU is probably going to demolish.
Oh, that very there you go. That's
that
the nail
could be
in the
death
coffin.
Nail. That yep. could be the death.
So
nail.
But there's no chance after this you. After this past weekend. There's no chance of an in-season firing.
I don't think so. Because the rest of the losses won't be embarrassing. The Illinois loss would have been an embarrassing loss because it was Illinois. Kind of almost Harvey slice it. Like if they would have lost that game Saturday, you could have argued they should have won it, and then he gave it away in the wake of that horrible Maryland game. We've seen enough. The rest of the schedule gets difficult. It's time to move on, right?
Right.
The rest of the season you got Iowa Bowl team, Nebraska Bowl team, Penn State best team ever because best coach ever, Minnesota Bowl team, Northwestern Bowl team, Wisconsin Bowl team, IU definitely Bowl team. That's, I mean,
it's going to be a lot. The point, your point of a lot of losses, like to end the season, like maybe one win, like ending it 1-6 or whatever. How many
games? That could be what seals it for him.
Yeah,
that's so what that's did it for Danny Hope. Was that kind of a stretch? It wasn't the season in aggregate. It wasn't like. After a 6-6 season, they said he has to go. It was the way the team looked in the middle of the season.
By the way, that middle four games. Ooh.
You guys were talking about next season. I don't know if you have it in front of you. I hope you don't. No, don't bring it up. I want to read it to you.
Okay, no. Go.
I've never even seen it.
Next season, you know next season's schedule.
Don't we start with Mike Vick Jr. for the first game?
Lucas Oil Stadium against Louisville.
That's fun. Oh, that's a good start.
Then you're at home against Ohio.
Is he back? Okay. Is that quarter? Is Lamar Miller back?
He's a redshirt freshman.
Oh, sweet. What? Sweet
yeah.
mother of
so then
Mary.
You come home for Ohio. Probably not a good, but maybe.
Well, Solich, is he? Did he die?
No, he's still there.
I'm asking for a friend.
He's still coaching.
He's very old, and he's just cashing checks at this point.
I may or may not have written a post about it. We'll talk about this later.
This is September, guys. Louisville, Ohio, at Missouri. Home against home against Michigan, September 23rd.
Oh.
That's September.
Wait, then you go three non-conference games are Louisville, like the Heisman winner, and then Ohio.
Ohio still, though, so much has gone to a bunch of bowl games the last couple years.
Like, they're fine. Yeah. And then Mizzou, wow.
At Mizzou. They only got one home game before they play Michigan at home.
You know what that was? That's what it is for Morgan Burke, isn't it?
No. Then they have an open date. Then they
You don't see me flick people off very often, but that was for Morgan Burke. That was a
then
quote.
Then it goes Minnesota at home, at Wisconsin, at Rutgers, thank goodness, Nebraska at home, Illinois, at Northwestern, at Iowa, and Indiana. That's not
good. It's not so good.
That's not make a change. You got to make a change. You can't come in with Daryl Hazel in that season, because then you're just it's going to be a 4-win season with Daryl Hazel.
Four?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it best case scenario, that's a 4-win season with Daryl Hazel, and you're going to fire him anyway.
Wrap your mind around this, okay? Next year, Blauza Jr., right?
Mm-hmm.
Next year. So he's not going to go to a bowl game next year.
No.
Nope.
Grad transfer.
You'll have...
grad transfer to Mizzou, maybe. Who knows? SEC school.
Yeah. Because then you'd open the door for Sindelar, and maybe that's what happens anyway. I mean, think Sindelar is a cannon, but he's got a Tim Tebow like slow wind up. Did you notice that when he plays? He's got this massive windmill of a wind up, but he can throw the ball hard.
I didn't watch any of his reps against Illinois because I was really busy making my Daryl Hazel, Commodore Hazel Photoshop.
No, you're Maryland.
Yeah. Maryland, yeah. I'm sorry, not Illinois.
I watched, that's a weird thing, I watched that game so numb. I just sat there.
Yep.
Like you've been tied up.
Yeah, exactly. What am I doing with my life? why have I pulled my son along with this hellish, awful existence?
I know.
You can't with that kind of a schedule next year. You can't bring Hazel back. I didn't even know that was a thing. You can't, because then you're kissing that season goodbye. Like, with a new coach,
PJ Fleck is going to have him in the top 10 after there's a preseason. And then they're going to upset Michigan, so it'd be crazy man versus crazy man. Can you imagine that? Whether it's Orgeron or Fleck versus Harbaugh, and Purdue's like 12th in the nation. Boom, we having fun.
Row that train. I wonder what he would come up with. What would he come up with at Purdue?
Oh boy. The boat has nothing to do with the Bronco, so no. I mean, it could be anything. It couldn't it be? Fly that kite? I don't know.
I need him.
I don't have any
clue. I used to want, like, as of like 2 weeks ago, I wanted nothing to do with PJ Fleck. And the more stories I hear about his insanity, the more I think I
don't
need
know that
him.
You really. I mean, you guys say that, but I think if he came to Purdue,
he's nutty. He is nutty.
Oh no, he might win. He might win football games. He's just an insane. He's a lunatic.
Yeah, I'm saying if he came and didn't win football games, I don't think you'd enjoy the craziness.
Well, that's the funny thing. Let's put ourselves in that in a, you know, we're right now we're 11 and a half months in the future. Purdue is 0-3.
You should see the look. People at home, you should see the look that Dan has. It's like this.
PJ Fleckish.
It's crazy, yeah. Purdue's 0-3, and PJ Fleck is just off the chain crazy in his post-game comments. And we're loving it and hating it at the same time. We're like, frick! At least Hazel didn't say stupid things that didn't make any sense.
Where we were. That's exactly what our complaint was about Hope. He said nonsense. But see, the thing with Hope is he didn't seem to – he still loved being the head coach even when he was getting his brains beat in. He loved going to press conferences, remember? That was one of the couple Danny things.
A little grin.
I love talking.
Any of the press corps wants to come to my house, you're welcome. You know where I am. I've given my home address out to everyone.
One of Ryan's hopeful Danny tweets was something like his favorite books, and he said my favorite books are it was like the Star Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance or something.
Oh, that was boy. We had a run where we were, man. He was saying things, and all you'd have to do is just like change one word, and you had it. You had it, and people just love it and retweet it.
I would read the transcript of his press conferences.
That's all you have to do.
Material.
Yeah. And it was all there.
There were good people at the Journal and Courier who were, like, Dave Bangert, you know, the guy mm-hmm. who's a columnist yeah. over there. He tweeted when Hope got fired. He said, "I'm sad this has to end," and he had the hope. That's what I understand.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Faux Pelini, we got space for you. We got space for you, Faux Pelini.
I would love Faux Pelini because
think about that. Insane. The three main names you guys have mentioned and we've mentioned are really crazy for
insane
reason.
Yeah.
They're all insane people.
They're all insane. I think we just need some personality.
It's like we just need it because it's been so serious and so crappy.
You need to change it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need a different.
I got to tell you, I think Shiana is my number one right now.
Are you kidding?
I've changed perspective on this. I think Shiana, like, realistic number one.
Why?
Ohio State
thinks higher of himself.
I think he wants to be a head coach.
I agree. A guy that
goes to the NFL wants to be a head coach.
I agree, but I don't think Purdue is an appealing job.
Oh, it's a very appealing job. Have you seen this facility we're building? Have you seen these I-beams? These I-beams represent the future. That's the funny thing is that's what Hazel's peddling to recruits, and he's having a decent time at it. He's getting a couple solid 3 stars. You know, I'm just amazed that anybody verbals to the guy right now. Aren't you?
Yeah. Well, did you hear that? Not again. It's there's a parallel, but did you hear that Rutgers had a bunch of recruits at that game?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah. It was big, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had like the most they've had. Yeah, it was at a 78-0 loss.
Man, did you guys get entertained by the NC State Notre Dame game at all? That was fun to watch.
That was quite fun.
Oh, it's like backyard football. Guys get tackled and they would slide 7 yards. Yeah. That was so great. And then the fact that Notre Dame loses again, you're like, this is like Christmas morning. This is really, really good.
Future Purdue. Future Purdue head coach Brian Kelly.
Oh gosh,
I take it.
I take it. Oh my
actually,
god!
I got to take it back. That's my line.
Like
I said
him.
I can't
yeah,
do it. I can't
like
do him.
Him.
I he
like
killed
him.
The kid. He killed the kid.
He killed the kid. Yeah, exactly.
That's all I got to say.
Plus, he's
he drove another person to suicide.
What'd you say, Jay?
He's notorious for throwing his players under the bus too, like in a media press conference and stuff. He did it after the NC State game. He specifically said in the post game.
He did.
I thought it was deplorable that we couldn't snap the ball, and he was talking about his center not being able to snap.
Oh, did you see him chew on the center during that game?
Yeah, like you know, you're supposed to.
He's a
college kid. I'm sorry, you're supposed to take the brunt of it. He's done that in the past too. He likes to kind of blame his players, and I don't have a lot of respect for that. Like, of course it's the player's fault, but you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to call them out. They're not professional athletes, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I'll give you guys another question. I'm doing the J Money role tonight. Okay. I'll give you two scenarios. Scenario one: of your top 7 coaching candidates, you guys got them in your mind. Let's say you're the guy who's number 7. So you're not real stoked about that guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just say the tier 2 coaches from our composite listing.
Yeah.
Okay. Purdue gets one of those guys or the guy at the bottom of that list or keeps Hazel for one more year and gets 4 wins. Which scenario do you want?
Guy at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. I want a fresh start. I want to try something different.
Regardless, huh?
Yeah, because it's
Brock Spack or Hazel for one more year.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. No. Yes, that's the one. That's what I wanted to do to you guys.
You might give it to take another year, Darryl.
He's not in my tier 2, so I demur.
That's the question right there. The mustache?
No.
Or Darryl Hazel after 4 wins and 1 more year.
So I'm sorry. So say that, so he wins one more game.
He wins
year.
One more game. You can pick. I don't care which one.
IU.
So it's IU.
If it's IU. He can stay.
There you go. Okay, that's your scenario.
If it's that or Spack, that's how little I want Brock Spack.
I take Spack. You know
I
that.
I know you would.
I'm hoping Spack knocks on my door tonight. I'll give him shelter. I love that man.
Give him shelter. He may need it. He may be available for no buyout very soon.
Yeah, that boy. Ooh.
Better
all right,
he's not helping himself.
Illinois Redbirds.
So we're all predicting Purdue sweeps the next 7 games, right?
That's right. We're in agreement.
Eight, I guess eight if you include the Alamo City Bowl or whatever.
They'd be going to the Outback if they won eight straight, my friend.
Yeah, they'd be going to the Big Ten championship game, my friend.
Yes, they would.
We control our own destiny.
I like how you laughed as you said that.
You couldn't even get it all the way out. I love that.
But we do. Hey, listen, could happen. Crazier things have happened. Trump is the Republican nominee. Crazier things have happened. Oh, no, Purdue gonna be in Indy. I'll see you. You know who doesn't control their own destiny? James Franklin and Penn State. Purdue does. Daryl Hazel does. That's all I'm saying.
In the face. In the face. Best coach ever.
That's all I'm saying.
So let's just wrap on this idea here. So okay. Seven games to go. After the skill of game against Illinois, and you know, we're on a much more giddy, fun move. We've now seen an absolute horrible display against Maryland, and these are back-to-back road games, so you know, kind of, and a nice win, a nice comeback. Thank goodness Illinois fumbled on their first possession of overtime and doinked it off the upright. What was that? 27 yards? No, 30 something, right?
No. It was inside 30. Whew, I want to say
a lot went right there. Oh, by the way, this is before I ask the question.
Tipping their cap to
he was
Mr.
able
Hazel.
To. He was able to call three straight timeouts. Is that the NFL where that's not allowed anymore?
It's not allowed in the NFL, and it used to not be allowed in college football. I'm almost positive of that, because when he did the second, I was like, huh?
Then he did the third one.
And then I'm like, okay.
I got all these timeouts. I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I love it.
Take them with us.
I loved it.
It was like the anti-Gene Katie. Remember, Katie used to never call timeouts. You're like, dude, call a freaking timeout.
You can't store them for later, yeah.
Yeah, take it. You're not getting a bonus. All the timeouts you leave in the drawer.
One of my favorite lines from a Dave post from last year. He was talking about Painter, I think, not using timeouts. And he's just going to bring it home and bury it in the backyard. sometimes the metaphors are so great. So how many more games does Purdue win this year? Right now, what's your feeling?
I think one.
One more.
I think one, and Purdue finishes with that crazy four, you know, that weird four-win mark. And I think Hazel's gone.
Zero.
No more?
No more. That's what I said to Nish when you blacked out, when you passed out a minute ago.
When I blacked out.
Yeah, and you disappeared. I told Nish, I don't see one. I don't see one there.
Well, I don't, yeah. I mean.
I think from that grab bag of that the worst grab bag ever. You know, it's like when you get, like, this is like a step down from like getting an apple on Halloween. It's like getting razor blades. It's like, so from
wow,
the selection of razor blades on Halloween, the Penn State, Minnesota, shaky Northwestern.
Best chance at a win remaining. I'm gonna have to go with Northwestern at home.
Penn State might break the college football rushing record against Purdue. So yeah, I would have to say it'd be
I think at Minnesota is a, you know,
I think Minnesota's not bad.
They're not bad. I'm saying, but I don't think they're that good. So
no, they're definitely not good. I didn't say let's ease up here. Let's come on. yeah, probably home versus Northwestern. And maybe Iowa next. I don't know. Probably not next week.
But Northwestern just beat Iowa. I mean, that's the thing. At Iowa, just beat them. And they were way out in front in that game.
There are people at another Purdue blog that I think are sort of licking their chops for Iowa. I get the sense.
That are what?
Sort of licking their chops for Iowa.
I don't know.
I don't know why you do that. Even when Tiller was at Purdue, Iowa was a tough win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not an easy out.
Hope beat Iowa.
Because what they're going to do is they're going to do what they're good at, which is just beat you around the face and neck with a big running back. Just boom, boom, boom.
Around the face and neck.
Right, this whole area. You're going to be severely bruised, and you go to church, you'll have to have sunglasses on.
I don't think Tiller actually ever won at Iowa, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, you know, the one year they probably should have was when Dallas Clark kind of squeaked out and ran for 95-yard touchdown. You're like, this is the slowest, most painful death ever. That was the one where Kirsch and Orton got dingy. They brought in Kirsch, and they're like, oh, I think we're in trouble now. Because I think Orton either flicked off somebody in the stands or something. You're like, oh, gosh.
That was that, I, this just brings me to another Hopeful Danny tweet. After they beat Iowa in his last year, you posted on Hopeful Danny, I called Coach Tiller to talk to him about victories at Iowa. He didn't laugh as hard as I did. I don't think he ever won there. Yeah, so I know it's at Purdue, but they're vulnerable. They're totally vulnerable. But
sure. And almost everybody on this schedule is vulnerable.
Right. But
Purdue's more vulnerable.
Purdue's, yeah.
Much more.
With a dull blade, yeah.
Yep.
So, all right. Well.
So, what did you say that? So, Anish said one. Did you say one win? Is that what you said?
I'll go with one more as well, yes.
And you're kind of playing the odds there. But the problem is you don't play a composite team. You play each team each week.
I know. You're exactly right.
It's not good. This schedule's not good. Because how about this one here? The scenario that I've been waiting for to happen that hasn't really – actually, it's starting to happen. Injuries mounting up, right?
Yeah.
So if you get a couple injuries in the trenches,
boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, the other thing, too, you talk about a team that, you know, this past week.
Right? I got another follow-up question. I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Follow-up question. Will Sindelar start any of the last games?
No. No, I don't think so.
And he says no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think if I have to say, I'll say yes. If I have to pick one.
Injury. And I don't want to see Blau get injured. No.
So the injury. So
you're saying, does he lose his job?
Yeah.
No, so I'm not saying he loses his job. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that scenario where, you know, left tackle gets injured, you know, and then the massive drop off happens where you're like.
I think you might be right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I think, the reason I think he could get a start to sit Blau down is like, we were talking about how the last 2 weeks, right? That could have been the end, but the team actually pulled together. They obviously pulled together for Hazel, which is great.
Sure.
But so let's say they lose to Iowa, because they probably will. Then they go to Nebraska and they probably get you know,
pummeled. Yeah.
And then they got to come home to play Penn State, who, and you said, is probably going to rush for 600 yards on them. Mm-hmm. Now you're demoralized. Now you've lost three, and you've probably been pounded a couple times in a row. Mm-hmm. Now if you start to lose the team, or what if they lose 50-7 again? Then you probably sit Blau down. I think.
I don't think Blau loses his job. I don't think so.
I don't think he'll lose his job either. I agree. You and I are in agreement there. I just think he will not start all the remaining games. And I don't think it'll be catastrophic. I'm not wishing ill will. I'm talking about something like a bruised rib or sternum or something where he gets hit from behind and he's just like, I can't throw. You know,
it's Andrew Luck syndrome.
Right. Boy, he got beaten up though. Luck did. And,
yeah, he did.
So. Okay, how about this question? One more follow-up.
Last one.
We'll end on a happy note. We've kind of dragged back down into the muck and mire. What's the worst loss on the remaining schedule?
Worst loss, Indiana.
Not even close.
Not even close. What are you talking about? I don't know if you're talking about, like, for moral.
Point disparity?
Victory.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
It's going to feel awful, and they're going to feel great about it, and it's going to be incredible for them, and it's going to be bad. The IU game is going to be bad.
None of these other ones are going to hurt that bad just from who you're losing to. It's not.
Yeah, I'm just saying points, like losing another one 50-7.
What's the biggest pounding left? Probably Nebraska.
No, Indiana. Indiana's running the score up.
Yeah, and they should.
Oh, yeah, I would. Shoot.
Yeah.
I was in the stands begging Joe Tiller to in his last game, and he did because it was awesome.
But he was running the ball, though. That's the funny thing. IU couldn't stop the run.
It was the best.
No, it was Curtis Painter throwing the ball, too.
But they called off the dogs. You can go back and look at that. Whenever they put up 700 yards of offense on
what
IU.
What I'm thinking of is Orton's last game. I was at that one.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, that was DiNardo, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Because DiNardo was fired the next morning.
No, it was Lynch by then, wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't Lynch. It wasn't Lynch. You're right. I think it was DiNardo. Yeah, when they put up, they had 762 yards.
I think Tiller fired three IU coaches. It's pretty awesome.
Those are good stats to have. I think IU's about to fire one.
They're second, right?
Hope beat
IU's last game.
Yeah, Hope beat IU.
And then they went to a bowl game and he sat in the stands. That's my boys.
They carried him off the field. There was that whole thing. Yeah.
That's right. And his wife was on there holding hands and triumphant raised fist.
So in Joe Tiller's last game, Curtis Painter threw 54 times. 38 for 54, 448 yards, and five touchdowns.
What's the final score of that one?
That was 62-10.
Oh.
Oh, that, it was amazing. It was amazing. That was my sophomore year.
Yeah, that was freezing cold day because Tiller was wearing like he looked like a snowman in his coat, didn't he? It was like so puffy. It didn't have a belt on the outside. It was one of those type of coats.
So it just kind of made it
look flatter. Yeah.
You're just a giant tall cylinder.
Yeah,
but I think it's bad. It's gonna be bad. The IU game's gonna be bad.
As I was saying,
continue.
No, the thing I would just say about Indiana is that they are going. I was looking at their schedule before I got unceremoniously booted again from the chat, and they actually they might need that win. Like, they got, so what they have left is Nebraska, Northwestern, Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State, Michigan, and Purdue. They got to win three more to get to a bowl. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
If they're as good as we think they are, they beat Nebraska. They'll beat Maryland.
I think they'll beat Maryland.
They'll beat
they're in a bowl right then, right?
They'll destroy Rutgers.
They have four right now, don't they?
Three right now. They're 3-2. The same as Purdue.
Okay. So they'll beat Maryland. They'll beat Rutgers.
They already have their bye week, too? I didn't think they were that bye.
They'll get two, and then I think they'll sneak one. I think Purdue will be their seventh one.
You say Northwestern was in that group, too?
Yes, at Northwestern.
Oh, they'll beat Northwestern. They'll beat Northwestern.
Yeah, I agree. But so I think they'll beat Northwestern, Maryland, and Rutgers. They'll have a nice little three-game win streak. I think they'll lose to Nebraska. And Michigan. And they might beat Penn State.
Turns out
Michigan's one of those games where Harbaugh will kill them. Like, just beat the hell out of them. Yeah. You know, it'll be close for two quarters, and then the dam will break.
Harbaugh will hear all of these, like, oh, I use plucky upstart, and he's just going to just lose it. It's just going to...
Crazy. Speaking of crazy people, the more I see of that dude, he's crazy. He's got that kind of, he's got that kind of vacant sort of like...
He's out. He's
like
out.
He sort of doesn't, you know... He doesn't get what you're saying because he's so, like, intensely focused on these, like, it's kind of almost annoying. It's not, like, fun like PJ Fleck. It's like kind of like you're...
Oh, I can tell you Michigan fans think it's fun.
Oh.
They're having a great time. Every Michigan fan I've talked to is just in love with that man. And they know he's weird, and they are, that boy.
I mean, it'd really be if Drew came back. Like, if Drew, like, coached in the NFL and came back to Purdue
and won
coached
all the time.
Yeah. Like, if he was a really good coach somewhere else and then came to Purdue.
Did you guys hear about the rumor that I'm starting right now?
I'd love to, though. I don't know.
Don't tell everybody. Tell everybody. D'Antonio's on the hot seat, and...
I hear he likes West Lafayette.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I've heard.
I think his aunt on his great aunt on his mother's side. Did you you heard that one?
I've heard that. Did you hear about the small private plane that flew from West Lafayette to East Lansing?
Tracked it last night. D'Antonio. It's happening. He's not even that good of a coach.
Exactly. He sucks.
He's not even that good.
Everybody else, look away. He's not good. He belongs. He belongs in Purdue. If that happened, Jay, would you be able to go to work without having like some sort of skirt device to hide your excitement?
I don't even know what I would do. But
we don't need to worry about it. Obviously,
Purdue would get him after the bloom is off completely. Like they win four games this year. They wouldn't fire him even.
They're not going to fire him. He doesn't have to win another game. He's not fired. He doesn't have to win another game this year. He's contended for two national titles. I mean, come on. That's
why it's exactly how we'll be talking about PJ Fleck in 8 years.
Exactly.
Anyway,
It'd be great. Well, it'd be great if Purdue could find their Mark D'Antonio. That's all I'm asking for.
It's PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck, row the boat, baby. Row the boat.
Run.
Have the oars on the back of the Purdue uniform.
Little boats as helmet stickers.
Yeah.
Oh man.
crazy.
On the back of the uniform.
He's got the custom jacket just like Hazel does too. It's a one of a kind jacket. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
He put the special order in with Nike and they honored it.
Good for him. Hey.
Good for him. Yep.
Anyway. Yeah, all right. The bells. Boys. Bells are on us.
That's right. That's the cue. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. And everybody out there, you've been listening to the Boiled Sports podcast known as the Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.
Thank you.